Community Life Church is not a building. We're a spiritual community, neither confined to or defined by its walls. This podcast is primarily for people who miss a Sunday gathering and want to hear the sermon. That's all that I have. But God has a message, and that's really what you need to hear. As you listen, hopefully you can catch the spirit of community life and hear the message, not just the sermon. I mentioned a little bit earlier that you know, all this talk about finding peace and practicing it in our lives it's like everything else. It's easier said than done, and I try to remember that every sermon that I preach, there's never been a sermon that has been harder to preach than to live. So Paul wrote these verses for us. Many of you have committed them to memory. And sometimes we read just a few of these verses together, or a few of these verses together, but I want to put two familiar portions of Scripture together that are together, but I want to read them together and think about them together this morning. So here in Philippians chapter, I think it's chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. And I didn't say that. Paul did. So take it up with Paul. You know, it's easier said than done, Paul. Tell that to Paul someday when you see him in heaven. Say, Paul, you know that verse that you read, rejoice in the Lord always. You know that was easier to say than to do. And he may say something to you like, yeah, you know what? You have no idea how easy it was for me to praise God after I'd been beaten and tossed into a jail cell. You have no idea how easy it was for me to rejoice then. Or the time that I was stoned and left for dead. That was the easiest time in the world for me to rejoice in the Lord. That was so easy. Or the number of times that I was beaten, 40 lashes minus one. After a while, I looked forward to that. You have no idea how easy it was for me to do that. By that time, you and I will stop with our litany of difficulties that we face in life. By that time, we'll have backed off and we'll go, oh yeah, you did write a lot of those verses while you were in prison. So maybe you did know something about hardship, and maybe it's people who know the most about hardship who also know the most about rejoicing. Maybe. But you probably wouldn't say that to Paul again after that. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Just in case you forgot. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. I know, that's right there on the tip of your tongues again, isn't it? Do not be anxious for anything. It's easier to just say that. Yeah, I know. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I don't automatically go there, but I most of the time manage to find my way. There, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, that's normally where we stop, but you know these verses. Finally, brothers, whatever is... Now, you don't have to do this at Christmas time, by the way. This is a portion of Scripture that in the Greek, there's a little notation that says, you don't have to do this at Christmas time. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, hi, sweetheart, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. I remember it with some initials, because when I've tried to memorize it, the only way I could do it is my initials are TNRPLA. And the reason I remember TNR is because my brother's real name is Turner, so that sort of sounds like that. And so that's how I remember the words, what's in there. Turner play, TRNPLA, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. And then it's like Paul goes, you know what, I could keep going on from here, and everything that I would put in this list would be positive. But rather than try to list it all, then he goes, you know what, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on those things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul, that is so easy for you to say. If you knew how much I suffered, you'd rewrite that. It's just not the case, is it? It's just not the case. Do you know that I think sometimes there is a grace that comes to people who are suffering that people who are not suffering know nothing about. I think sometimes it's harder on people to watch someone suffer than it is for the person who actually suffers, because I think there's a grace at work there. That the observer knows nothing about, only the person who's actually suffering, I think. That's free. I wasn't planning to say that. So, peace. Let's talk about peace this morning. And thinking about the scripture, and think about the scripture that we read from Paul and the scripture that we read from Isaiah. Peace is an inside job. I can't say anything or do anything to bring you peace. Nobody can change anything in your life to bring you peace. Because I think there are a couple different kinds of storms that take place in people's lives. There are storms that we take with us, and there are storms that we run away from. There are internal storms and external storms. A song I wrote for a girl, Moncton, years ago, who came to Christ, and she was at a point, I don't remember what was going on in her life, but she just disappeared. And she was running away from some pain in her life, which is a natural, normal human thing to do. So I'm not critical of that. I'm just saying that's the normal way. And so I'd written this song, "Where Will You Run, My Friend, When Your World Comes to an End? When the strong winds blow and the storms begin to something. Will you run away and hide, lock your feelings deep inside, or will you run to the one who cares to be your friend? Because you can't run from all your problems. You can't hide from all your pain. Can't run from all your problems. You can't hide from all your pain." Forgetting the words right now. There was one phrase in there. It says, "When will you learn, my friend, that pain is not a place that you can leave behind? Pain is not a place that you can leave behind." If we suffer today from lack of peace or pain, and if you can think about this, and it makes sense to me, which doesn't mean it makes sense. It just means it makes sense to me. But if you can think about it like this, that there may be sets of circumstances that exist around you, and you don't know what to do with those circumstances, but the storm that's really rocking your boat is the one in here. This is where the storm is. And there are people, me, I've probably been there myself, you likely have been too, there are people who live for a lot of years with an internal storm, which means wherever they go, so goes the storm. Wherever they go, so goes the storm. Those are the worst kinds of storms in the world. We're going to have rain, they tell me, tomorrow. We're going to have a pool party in the basement tomorrow if anybody wants to come. There's a storm coming tomorrow. It's going to rain down on us, but the storm will pass. I can say that for certain. The storm will pass. We're on the verge of another winter. Let me say, I can guarantee you there is not a winter too strong to withstand a spring. Amen. Yep. I don't think about spring being strong. I think about winter being strong. But you think about it, right? You think about there's not a winter too strong that can withstand a spring. You know what? You know what I'm doing right now? I am reminding myself and you and talking myself into a place of peace. I want to say there's not a trial that is strong enough to last forever. And Paul, who said it this way. He uses the word temptation, but can also be translated trial. And you know the scripture, it says something like this. "For there has no temptation," and let's put the word trial in there. "For there is no trial taken you, but such as is common to man." I need to talk to Paul and say, "Paul, that's so easy. There's no trial taking you, but such as is common to man, which you might translate it this way. You're not the only one who's ever gone through this. There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, and we don't want to surrender that. We don't want to give that up. We don't want to admit to ourselves that whatever it is we're facing is common. We want to say, no, you don't understand that. If you knew my circumstances, you would know how uncommon my struggle is. The struggle that's taken me is uncommon to man. And that's why I'm going to hang on to it, because it gives me license to languish. Listen, please don't receive those words as insensitive, because I don't mean them to be insensitive. I know we go through tough stuff. But I am saying that peace starts in here. The kind of peace, if you take your storms with you, you can take your peace with you too. Jesus did that. You know, you talk about the little dog and separation anxiety. The disciples were like that with Jesus. As soon as Jesus went away, things fell apart. Like the story of they tried to cast the demon. The father came to the disciple. He had a son. He used to cast him into the fire. He had some kind of affliction. It was demon possession. Jesus is up there with Peter, James, and John on the mountain. Peter, James, and John want to stay there because Elijah shows up and somebody else, I can't remember who it was, Moses. And they thought, oh, let's stay here. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, things were in chaos because Jesus wasn't there. And you know the story. He came back down from the mountain and he was the Prince of Peace, right? He was the Prince of Peace. So when Jesus shows up, peace shows up. You can bring your peace with you. You can bring the peace of Christ with you. It's a much better thing to bring than the storm. But it starts inside. It starts with you and I saying, nope, I am not going to believe that what I'm going through, I'm the only one who's ever gone through this. I'm not going to excuse myself. My trial is common to man. As much as I hate to admit it, it's common to man. I'm going to surrender that. And I'm going to, Paul says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. So he was advocating going to the Prince of Peace to get rid of the storm, wasn't he? In prayer. Because, yeah, I don't know why I put that in there. In you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives. I think what I was wanting to emphasize there is we talk about God living in our hearts. I've heard some people say, well, that's sort of a silly expression, but you can find it in the scripture. And this is a good portion of scripture. There's other stuff around you should read. I don't mean, because I'm not cherry-picking a verse, I don't think, but in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by Spirit. So if the Prince of Peace lives in you, then the peace of Christ lives in you. That makes sense? So the prayer is the pathway, isn't it? Paul said, go to God. Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
Is there not a second part to that verse in Corinthians?
Tell me. Oh, thank you. Yes, I forgot that. Quote it again for everybody. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, there's no trial taken in you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will also provide a way out. Something like that? Yeah. That's it. Thank you. Yeah, God is faithful. See, you know, we're talking about peace, and is the faithfulness of God not a factor in that whole thing? You can talk to Paul about that too. He'll tell you it was. But prayer is the pathway. Paul says right away, don't be anxious for anything. But by prayer and petition, let your requests be made known unto God. I love this. I read it a few years ago. It talks about honest prayer. One of the reasons that we struggle so much with prayer is we spend a lot of time drafting our prayers to create something we think God wants to hear us say. So it's like we come up with these prayerful masterpieces designed to impress God, and we can put beautiful words together and miss the not so pretty stuff that's in our hearts. So I just had to share this with you this morning. It says, this is by a guy named Francois Fenelon, written a lot of years ago. You'll see at the end. Tell God all that is in your heart. As one unloads one's heart, its pleasures, its pain to a dear friend, the wonderful counselor, right? Tell him your troubles. He may comfort you. Tell him your joys, that he may sober them. Tell him your longings, that he may purify them. Tell him your dislikes, that he may help you conquer them. Talk to him of your temptations, that he may shield you from them. Show him the wounds of your heart, that he may heal them. Lay bare your indifference to good, your depraved tastes for evil, your instability. Tell him how self-love makes you unjust to others, how vanity tempts you to be insincere, how pride disguises you to yourself and others. If you thus pour out all your weaknesses, needs, and troubles, there will be no lack of what to say. You will never exhaust the subject. It is continually being renewed. People who have no secrets from each other never want for subjects of conversation. They do not weigh their words, for there is nothing to be held back. Neither do they seek for something to say. They talk out of the abundance of the heart. Without consideration, they say just what they think. Blessed are they who attain to such familiar, unreserved intercourse with God. 1651 to 1715, you mean people struggled with the same kinds of things back then that we do today? I guess maybe. So here's the second part of that verse, and I want to just really encourage you to think about this. And I would even ask you to sort of rehearse that verse again in your mind. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. If I said that to you and there was no scripture reference, you would say, that's just frothy pop psychology. You would say, you're just wanting to make an I'm a pessimist in denial, or an optimist who just is enjoying his optimism, right? Yeah, that's right, yeah. But what we choose to think about makes all the difference. I read in a book called The Joy Factor. It's a little book on Philippians. Paul wrote it from a prison cell. And one of the things he said in the book is this. He He said, I remember reading it. He said, how are you feeling right now? And I'd ask you that question. How are you feeling right now? Got an answer? Next question. What are you thinking about? What he said was, you cannot think continually about things that are going to weigh your heart and your mind down and expect to feel good at the same time. It's impossible. It's impossible for your emotions to take you somewhere where your thoughts don't take you. But your thoughts will take your emotions somewhere different than where you may be. Good or bad. Henry Ford used to say, whether you think you can or you can't, either way you're right. Something like that. But what we choose to ponder makes all the difference. It sounds so frothy. But like I say, if I couldn't put a scripture reference at it, I would just walk out of here and think, well, what in the world is he talking about? Does he not know the world that we live in? Does he not see what's going on in the world today? But Paul wrote it. Not me. From a prison cell. And what we choose to think about makes all the difference in this world. It's part of that whole peace thing. Okay, I got to close with an illustration here. You know, it's amazing what peace will do for you. The scripture here, Isaiah 26, again, he speaks to us, you will keep in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast. The King James Version says, stayed, whose mind is stayed. I like it better that way. I like those words better. Whose mind is stayed on thee, riveted to thee because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is a rock eternal. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know what peace will do? You know what peace will do for you? Peace will... You're gonna think I'm bragging, and in a way, I suppose I am. The guys, Tuesday night, thank you guys for... They came in and they moved the cross just for a little while to the back of the sanctuary and got the manger up here, and they put the TV down on the main floor. That was, you know, the request that I had. But when we tried to find a place for the TV on the main floor, it blocked out the manger or the tree or something else. And so I thought, well, it should go back up on the platform. And listen, those guys who moved that stuff around Tuesday night, I could have called those guys. They'd have come, done it. But I was thinking, I was in this vein, and I was thinking about sermons and thinking about peace. And I knew I had to lead worship this morning. It was a little bit of a hectic day yesterday. And so I thought, okay, I got to get that thing back up on the platform. How would you do it if it was just you?
Call a couple of men.
Call a friend. That's a sensible thing to do. I discovered we have some right here, Sally. We have some. They have, when they're stored in that room up by the bathroom, they're tables. Or they're just flat tables. So yeah, so I got a table out. I thought, you know what, there's got to be a way to get that TV back up on the platform without calling somebody. And I stopped worrying about it. I thought, okay, I'm just going to be calm. And just exercise this context, or see how you could do it yourself, right? Because it's more than the weight of the thing. I mean, you can tip that over and, you know, mess that TV up in a hurry, and then, yeah, it's not good. But, yeah, that's exactly what I did. I found a table, one of the strongest ones we got, and put it up on the stairs there and then pushed it up. What I discovered on the way up is that that TV will slide this way and that way. And that really scared me when I tipped it. It slid back, and then I thought, okay, calm, breathe. And then I thought, you know what, that really could work in my favor, because if I slid it all that way, and I see it's uneven right now, then it would be easier to lift the front legs off the floor if most of the weight was, you know, to one end. Anyway, the bottom line is I got it up there on the little table, and it's tricky to make sure the wheels don't go off the ramp. And it was a couple times I was pretty scared. Pretty scared. But there was a certain amount of satisfaction in doing it, I have to confess. But you know what? I honest to goodness, if we can find our way to a place of peace, we think more clearly, we're more creative, are better able in so many ways. And you have to understand, the reason I mentioned this morning is just because this morning was so much on my mind. Peace is a context. It's the essential context for life. Because you know what? If you can find your way to a place of peace, you can make a whole lot better decisions than you can if you don't have that context. To be able to make decisions and from that place of peace is what every one of us would want to have. This is Advent 2023, the peace of God, which we love, we appreciate, we're thankful for. I know what that's like as a new Christian, to experience the peace of Christ. I know what it's like to have my sins forgiven. I know what it's like to have hope, and I'm incredibly grateful. Thank you, Lord, for peace. Even this morning, Lord, even right now, as I pray, I don't expect anyone else to feel this. We're all so different, but I feel the peace of Christ here this morning. I experience the peace of Christ. And if peace is here, you must be here. If you're here, peace must be here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Scripture says, there is peace. Now, Lord, give us that beautiful context, we pray, as we play a part in the lives of our children, our family, our workplaces, in the lives of others that we'll meet in our coming and going over this holiday season. But, Lord, take the storms away. Take the internal storms away and give us the peace of Christ that we can take with us. We need that so much today. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, 3 or 4 of God's people say, amen.